Let's go ahead and open this morning with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time, and I thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity to be in your word. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as we look at this passage of scripture from the book of Malachi, that, Lord, you would show us truly what you desire for us, and that, Lord, we would see exactly what it means to worship you, and, Lord, what you require of us and what you desire in our life. I pray, Lord, that you just be with me and speak through me, and that all of this would be pleasing. I pray, Lord, you'd be with the youth downstairs as they hear that message, and that, Lord, you would encourage them. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with, specifically your Spirit and your Word that teaches us and guides us. And all of this I pray and ask in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn to Malachi chapter 1, Malachi is pretty easy to find. If you can find the book of Matthew in the New Testament, you can find Malachi, it's right there. Malachi is obviously a book that has a great deal of meaning, as it is the last book of the Old Testament. It ends rather interesting with the word curse, because the nation of Israel has done things that have brought curses upon them. And if you remember, the Lord clearly identified and said, said to Israel, I will bless you, but if you go against my word, there are curses that follow. In this day and age, there's individuals out there that believe that whole concept of, you know, that we as the body of Christ have replaced Israel. That is a false doctrine. We have not. We don't get their blessings. I just want to be very clear with that. Because if you're going to get their blessings, you also get their curses. So you can't just take the good and leave aside to those things that the Lord said is going to happen. But what we can do is take a look at our lives and see where we can learn from Israel. And there's a great deal that we can learn from them. And they were put in there, as the Lord says, for examples and examples to us, that we can say, okay, I'm not going to do that, or I am going to do that according to the will of God. But what we find here is we find this apathy and this mentality that has grown in the nation of Israel. And we talked about first five verses last week, and we talked about the example there that was Esau. And we find that there's the lesson that we learned from Esau is that, you know, you're going to bring some things upon you if you despise what the Lord has given you. You're going to bring some trouble in your life. We have a tendency to bring our own trouble, and then try to blame the devil for it. We bring our own troubles many times because we go against God and because we despise what God has blessed us with. And I will tell you, if you are a saved, born-again child of God, and you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, putting your faith in nothing else, I will tell you this, you have been blessed beyond measure. Right. And if you are blessed beyond measure, you dare not despise that. And we found that very clearly the Lord was talking to Israel, seeing what they had done, and they kind of had that indignant mentality that you find throughout the book of Malachi, where they kept questioning God. He says, I've loved you. And they said, wherein have you loved us? And we find that people despise the love of God. Even Christians, they despise the love of God. And he's blessed us so greatly with salvation because he loved us. And he demonstrates it to us. And he shows it to us. And people despise it. And as we carry on through the rest of this chapter, I want us to look at verse 6 here, and we're going to read the rest of the chapter. And it says in verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your this hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even down to the going of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered upon my name, and shall and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. We find a lot of things that are just in that passage right there where the Lord just kind of brings it right into the face of Israel and says some things that they need to hear, because they have lived in this mentality for so long that they actually think the things of God are contemptible. They look at things that the Lord has done for them. They look at what the Lord has given them, and they declared it as it says there, weariness. Now, there are Christians today that will flat out say that. There are Christians today that will say, it is too hard to be a Christian. It is too hard to do that which is right. There are, you know, Christian businessmen that come alongside and say, well, in order for me to get ahead, I have to be a little bit corrupt in what I do. I gotta cheat a little here and fudge a little here and be shady over here and things like that, just so I can get ahead. Lord doesn't bless that, by the way. Don't do that in your business. If you have a business and the Lord's given that to you, don't behave that way. That's the one sure way to get the Lord to be against you. Don't do that in your life either. Don't take a look at what the Lord has given you and despise it like Esau did, which is exactly what they did. And he's saying, look, you know, here's Esau, and we saw what Esau did, and we see what the Lord did to Edom because of that, because of the continual bitterness that continued, well past Esau's time. But what do we find here? He says, nation of Israel, I want you to understand in the same lesson, you're despising my name. Now, I didn't tell the song leader, the piano players, to sing that song that we sang about the precious name of Jesus. The Lord did that, okay? But throughout this, I mean, I want you to see, how many times does he say the word name in reference to his? He goes through and he mentions it over and over again. He mentions it in chapter 6. He mentions it in chapter 11, verse 11 three times. And he mentions it in verse 14. He's talking about all of these things. He's talking about how they have profaned his name. Now we know what the Lord says over there in the book of Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And when we take it in vain, it is being profaned. And they had done this by saying, hey, look, we're Jews, we're Hebrews, we're God's chosen people, but yet we're behaving badly. And we're going to see some passages this morning that clearly show that. If you will, keep your place there, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 17. It says, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God. I mean, didn't we see that over there where the Jews were constantly saying, oh, our father is Abraham, and, you know, we follow Moses and all this stuff when they were talking to Christ and you know, if you will, debating Paul and all of those things. And they were trying to disparage who they were. But here Paul points out and he says, hey, this is what you guys are saying in verse 18, and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind and a light to them which are in darkness. Now, I will tell you this, there's a lot of churches that walk around like that today. And there's a reason why he's telling this to the church at Rome. The reason why he's telling this to the church at Rome, he says, don't be like them. And we find this, if you will, a theme throughout the book of Romans, where he says, look, yeah, you guys are Gentiles and you guys have been shown some amazing grace by God, but keep this in mind. Don't get filled with yourself like Israel did. Don't get lifted up with pride like Israel did. You need to keep this in mind and understand very clearly that the Lord is showing you and directing you that, hey, you need to make sure you keep your pride out of it. Take a look at what he says in verse 20. He says, an instructor of the foolish and a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. It's a form of knowledge. It's not the actual thing. Because he already talked about how they knew God over there in chapter 1, but they did not retain him in their knowledge. They purged him out. And I'll tell you this, in this day and age, we see a lot of churches that claim to have the knowledge of God, claim to have the knowledge of His Word, claim to have a knowledge of how the Holy Spirit works, and they are far from it. They're far from it. And what do we find here? He says in verse 21, he says, thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? That thou abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? That thou makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You realize that the Jew has done a lot to blaspheme the name of God. The things that they did and the way that they behaved caused individuals to think less of who God is. And I will say this, in this day and age, we live in a day and age where that word Christian, the root word Christ, there are a lot of Christians that have no idea who Christ is. And they don't live the way that Christ instructed them to. And they've taken on some other form of some knowledge, and it is not according to the Word of God. This is not what we should be. You go over there and you see over there in the book of Malachi how they were polluting the things that were there. They were polluting the bread, as he said. They were polluting the offering. They were polluting the table that the Lord had set out there for them to do all of the sacrifices and the things. They were polluting it by using the wrong thing. They were using the wrong thing. Go over to the book of Leviticus. Tell you, Leviticus gives a good understanding of what the Jew was supposed to do. And in Leviticus chapter 21, we'll start there, Leviticus chapter 21. Here was the warning. And I want you to see how this lines up exactly with what Malachi was talking about. He was talking about how they polluted the bread and they polluted the offerings. And it was, if you will, profaning God's name. And the priests were sitting there going, oh, where have we profaned your name? They profaned it by not honoring who He is. And they polluted the table and the sacrifices of God by offering something they weren't supposed to. In Leviticus chapter 21 and in verse 6, and it says, talking about these priests, they should be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God do they offer. Therefore they shall be holy. He says, look, if you're going to go and you're going to go do that offering, and you're going to call yourself a priest of God, you better make sure you're holy. You better make sure that you're doing what is right. Because there's nothing worse than having a priest that were like the sons, of Eli. Yeah. They were taking bribes and perverting things and doing general wickedness. That brought shame. That blasphemed the name of God. And here we are as believers that we say we're Christians. And if we are Christians and believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we ourselves, we are aligning ourselves with that name. We ought not blaspheme or profane it. We got to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be. We got to make sure, as he says, be ye holy as I am holy. Take a look at verse 8. And it says, thou shalt sanctify him therefore, and he offereth the bread of thy God, for he shall be holy unto thee, for I am the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. This is very clear. If you're going to do something for the Lord, you need to make sure that you do it with holiness. So we're talking about on Wednesday nights, and we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer is going to be judged for what they have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And we find very clearly that we talk about gold and that wood that was over there. There are going to be things that are done for the glory of God, or done for, if you will, glory of our own flesh in dead works. And those things that are done for the glory of God need to be done in purity, need to be done in righteousness, need to be done in holiness. If they're not, there's going to be trouble. There's things that are going to burn. There's things that are going to go up. There's things that are not going to last at that, what we've done is tried. If you take a look over at chapter 22 of the book of Leviticus, and in verse 25, again, he says very clearly about them being holy and about doing things and offering things. And one of the things that he makes very clear in verse 25, he says, neither from a stranger's hand shall you offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. You know what they couldn't have happen? They couldn't have somebody else that was, again, an outsider, somebody that was, if you will, of the world, come in and give those things that they were supposed to be giving. God wouldn't accept that. God wasn't going to allow that. God had a very specific thing that he wanted for the nation of Israel to do, that he wanted Israel to be, and he wanted them to be holy. He sanctified and set them aside for that purpose to be used of him. The problem was, they became filled with themselves. And rather than giving their all, they gave something that was half-hearted. They gave something that was lame. And God said, you've polluted some things. Go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and saying to them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire, for a sweet savour unto me, ye shall observe to offer unto me in their due season. And he goes through and he tells exactly how they're supposed to do it. And we're not going to get into the details of all of that this morning, but I want you to understand, there's a way that the Lord said, this is how you're going to come and worship me. This is how you're going to come and serve. This is how you're going to do things. And anything outside of that was considered unholy. Anything outside of that would be considered to pollute and to corrupt. And this is what the Israelites had done, is they had taken all the things that the Lord had given them and blessed them with, and they wound up despising it and talking about, oh, here we go, we gotta do this again for the Lord. Be careful if all of a sudden one day you wake up and you realize it's Sunday morning and you go, oh, I gotta go to church. Something's wrong. There's something's wrong. I mean, what did the psalmist say? I was glad when they said, let's go out to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Any chance and opportunity you get to come to church and you get to be around brothers and sisters in Christ and you get to be around edification and exhortation and comfort and all those things that we are supposed to be, that I tell you this, that should be something that excites you. You should want to get up in the morning and say, hey, I want to do that. You should want to go and say, hey, you know, midweek service, hey, I want to be there. Hey, you know, it's Sunday, you know, I want to be there. I want to do these things. Why? Because that's what the Lord has put in us to do. That we would come and do these things. And it glorifies God. Go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, and I know I'm giving a lot of references here, but I want to make it very clear where the nation of Israel went wrong. The Lord outlines it for us. Leviticus chapter 18, and he says in verse 21, he says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Now, he says right here, and we'll get to some of these other passages, he says, I don't want you putting any of your children through that fire to Molech. Now, Molech was an awful, hideous, disgusting, horrific god. False god, okay? Yes. And you know what they would do? They would take their children that were born, that you're supposed to love and cherish and nurture, and they would put them into a fire and burn them alive. And you wonder why God said, we need to get rid of some of those people. We need to stop that. I'll tell you, in this day and age, there's a lot of people around the world in countries, and I'm not just going to blame ours. Countries around the world, you know what? They sacrifice their children in other ways. And I'll tell you this, it's sickening. Yeah. If you're a parent, you should love your child and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as the Lord said we're supposed to do. And he says, look, if you do this, you're going to profane my name. Don't do that. Don't do that. And I've seen Christians do it. I've seen Christians just turn their child over to whatever else is going to teach them. Yeah. They don't teach them anything about the Word of God. They don't teach them anything about God. They don't teach them anything about the things of the Lord. And they don't teach them about the Bible. They don't teach them about the importance of the Bible. They don't teach them about salvation. And sometimes, you know, you wind up, you know, several years later and you're talking to a parent or something and you ask them, well, do you know your child's testimony? And then you hear crickets. You should know your child's testimony, whether they are saved or not. And if they are not saved, you need to tell them. That is so vital and important. Don't profane the name of the Lord by ignoring that. Take a look at chapter 19 of the book of Leviticus in verse 12. Same thing. In verse 12, it says, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Help us. If you are going to sin and do it openly and do things that are contrary to the Word of God, or even things that are in secret that are going to come out because the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Don't call yourself a Christian. Don't swear by his name falsely. That's not something you do. Don't take, you know, and we see that today. I've seen it in churches today where they say, well, I'm a Christian, and then they go and they do some of the most horrific things. And you sit there and go, wait a second, what? And you know what the world looks at and what the heathens see and what, if you will, the Gentiles see and everyone else that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior sees? Oh, look, there's another Christian. I mean, we could go through all the television evangelists right now, right? How many of them profaned the name of God? There's a bunch of them out there. There's a bunch of them that have turned away from God. There's a bunch of them that have left God. There's a bunch of them that are all about themselves. There are a bunch of them that sit there and if you will, want to heap things upon them. Don't take the name of the Lord falsely. Go over to chapter 22 again of the book of Leviticus. This time I want you to take a look at verse 31 and through 33. Now here's something you can apply. Now look, I understand we're not doing the commandments that Israel did, but there are things that Israel should have been doing that we need to be doing. And that starts with love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, with all your strength, with everything you have. Amen. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Verse 31, he says here, therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. You notice he keeps saying, I am the Lord. You think maybe he's trying to remind them that he's God? Why? I think sometimes we have a tendency to forget that, just like Israel did. In verse 32, it says, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. What is he reminding them of? He's saying, look, I want to remind you of something. You are called to a purpose. You are set aside to do something. They were supposed to be evangelistic in nature. They were supposed to be a priestly nation among all the other nations that were out there. They were supposed to be pointing people to God. And they failed at that. And I will tell you today, the body of Christ, some of the people in the church, and these so-called churches that are out there, you know what they do? They don't point anybody to God. You know where they point them? Themselves. Why is it that humanism is coming out in all of these churches? The glorification of flesh, the glorification of self. God says here very clearly, he says, don't profane it. Don't profane my name. You're supposed to hallow it. You're supposed to revere it. You're supposed to honor it. Remember what he said over there in Malachi? He says, you know, you honor your father and you honor your master. He's like, how come you don't honor me being your father and your master? And they're saying, where did we profane your name? By not honoring who God is. And honoring God who he is to understand he's holy. He's holy. Turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, a couple books over. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and here he is reminding that generation that's going into the land to possess it. Here's some, and again, you see the pattern here of how he keeps telling them, don't do this, 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 and they did it anyways. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know, we've got people that run around today that call themselves of God and they are not. There are people that are out there that do much harm towards the cause of Christ. Paul warns about people that are false teachers, that bring heresy, heretical doctrine, doctrines of men, doctrines of devils into the church. And he says, you gotta be careful. You gotta know what's truth. You gotta understand what is truth. You've gotta go with those things. Don't just listen to what every man teaches. Listen to what God is teaching you and what the Bible teaches you. You go over there to 2 Samuel in chapter 12 and verse 14. What is it that Nathan said to David? Because of his sin with Bathsheba, it gave reason for those that were without, those other nations, to blaspheme God. Because that sin was pretty big. I want you to go over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel has got some tough stuff. And people talk about it being, you know, one of the toughest books. And as I said, I think Song of Solomon's tougher. Because that book is, that'll make you sit down and think, what did I just read? Ezekiel kind of does the same thing, but you can kind of make some sense out of it. And I'm not saying that Song of Solomon doesn't make sense. I'm think it's one of those books that you have to really, really, really meditate and think on. It's not a casual read, but it is one of the most important books of the Bible. It talks about the relationship between God and His people. That's pretty important. In Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Here's a condemnation about what Israel had done and why Israel was going through what they were going through. Why they were in bondage. Because Ezekiel gets these visions and this message. While they're still in bondage. And he says in verse 20 of Ezekiel chapter 36, "And when they had entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore saith unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among them, or among the heathen, whither ye went." I want you to see in verse 23, and he says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." At some point in time, Israel's going to start doing the right thing. That little remnant's going to start doing the right thing. But here they are at this point in time, and what are they doing? They're going out among the heathen like they're supposed to, but what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about how they're from God, and they are doing exactly the opposite of what God told them to do. They're not following His commandments. They're not doing what the Lord told them to do. They're not offering things with a pure heart. They're not offering things the way they're supposed to be. And they're polluting the things of God. They're polluting things of God. And we see people today, what do? They pollute the love of God. They corrupt it. We see people go out there and they profane the name of the Lord by saying they're a Christian and doing things that are completely the opposite. And there's some churches you go into today, you can't tell the difference between a rock concert and a message, or you can't tell the difference between what is a play or some sort of Broadway theatrical thing that is out there and what is really supposed to be happening in church. There's a lot of Christians that are profaning the name of the Lord. You know, I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy. I want you to see something in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Lord talks about this in a couple of places. He talks about it over in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And he talks about those that are pure in heart and how they're going to see the Lord. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and what do we find here? I apologize. Chapter 1, verse 5. We can blame that on dyslexia. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Man, that sounds like a lot of people today. And I'll tell you this, you know, sometimes you enter into some of these debates with so-called Christians about stuff, and you're like, did you even read the Bible before you started trying to debate? Did you even understand what the Bible says? Do you have a comprehension of who God is and His holiness and righteousness? And they don't. They truly don't. So what do we find here? We find, he says, look, here's the end of the commandment. And what is it? It's charity. Man, charity is a pretty important thing to God. Take a look at 2 Timothy, what he says over there. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 20 he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now this is very interesting, talking about what we're talking about on Wednesday night. Wood is not honorable. The wood and earth, which he's talking about things of the flesh and dead men's works, are not honorable. Gold and silver is. But here he's saying there's some to vessel and some to, there's some vessels of honor and some to dishonor. And I'll tell you this, you know, you go through that and you see that. You ever work in a hospital? You ever been in a hospital? There are some containers that are not vessels of honor. I will leave it at that. He says, and all the nurses said, amen. In verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on heart, or call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what God wants? God wants the pure heart. And Israel was offering less than that. And because Israel was offering less than that, and they were offering the blind and the lame and the sick and those things that God said was not to be offered, and that was all they were giving, when they had everything that they could give that would glorify God, and they held it back for themselves, you know what they did? They despised the name of the Lord. And they polluted His table. And then they turn around and they have the gall to say, well, doing the work of the Lord is just, it's just so tiring, and it doesn't, it's not fruitful anyways. And it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of, you know, dead things and stuff like that. They were really truly had that mentality that they were against that. And if you go back over to the book of Malachi, he says, this was because of your means. The reason it's polluted is because of what you did. And you have the gall to say that the Lord's table is contemptible when you're offering things that you ought not offer. We see that in Christians' lives today. When they don't offer everything that the Lord tells them to offer. When they don't offer charity. When they don't offer love. when they don't offer righteousness, when they don't offer peace, when they don't offer faith, when they don't offer those things, and they hold those things back from God. Christian, we can't be that. If we call ourselves Christian, we can't withhold those things. We can't profane the name of the Lord that way. We shouldn't be ashamed to hand somebody a gospel tract for a fear that they think that a Christian is something to be disparaged or despised. Look, they're already going to look at what God does and what Christ has done, and they're already going to look at that and hate that. The Lord already made that clear. Let's not give them ammunition. The book of Malachi is a very telling tale of what is going on with the heart of Israel. And it is not a pure heart. It is far from that pure heart. Go back over to the book of Malachi. We'll close with this. And I want you to take a look at verse 8, where he talks with him and says, "And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" Try offering that to somebody that you think is important. Could you imagine that? You're invited over to a feast. You sit down and you're like, it's some of your favorite food. Maybe you're sitting down and you're looking at that, and there's this pot roast that's there, and you look at the pot roast and you go, oh wow, that looks so good. And they start carving it up, and it might look good. And you're like, oh, where did you get that from? Oh, I found it in a dumpster behind the grocery store. And I pulled it out and I washed it off. There was a rat chewing on it, but don't worry about it. Leave. You don't want bubonic plague or something like that. You're like, well, it probably got cooked out. Maybe. I'd be a little suspicious. I wouldn't eat it. There's been some stuff that it's been offered to me before. I looked at it and I'm like, I don't know about that. I mean, if I can see the hair sticking out of it, yeah. I'll tell you this. You know, the Lord makes it very clear what He wants. And I'll tell you this. If you were going to come and we are going to say we are Christian and not profane the name of the Lord, and we're going to worship the way that the Lord wants us to worship, here's what we need to do. It should be done with knowledge and wisdom. People are blind. They don't have knowledge and wisdom. And I'm talking spiritually. They don't have that knowledge and wisdom. Because they don't know God, and they don't know what He's offering. The nation of Israel right now, as an example, is blind. Because they don't know God. You know what else it should be done? It should be done with a whole heart. It shouldn't be done something that is lame and sick. I'll tell you this, when I was sick, and still even today, every now and then, I can't give my best effort with everything anymore like I used to. My best effort sometimes is maybe 50%. And sometimes I'm getting excited if my effort is 80%. Just because of, physical degradation. But I'll tell you this, we should never offer that to the Lord, something that is lame and sick. We shouldn't offer our heart unto Him. We're profaning His name if we do. The third thing that we see there that he talks about is it's not done with that sanctity where we're sanctifying God. And we're not doing it in a way that we're revering who our Savior is and what He has done for us. He kept saying, I am the Lord. I am thy Lord. I am thy God. He kept repeating that over and over and over again. Why is that? Because he wants them to remember that specifically. And I'll tell you this, there are people today, they don't reverence who God is. They don't reverence who He is. Keep in mind who it is you are worshiping and whose name it is that you claim. And don't profane it. Don't profane it. Don't claim to be a follower of Jesus and not even know what He said. Be a Christian that desires to know what's in this book, what He tells us to do, and how He wants us to do it. Because I'll remind you of this. The will of God is this. The will of God is knowing Him. The will of God is knowing His Word, His commandments that He specifically tells us to do. The will of God is also doing that, which He tells us to do. And it's doing it, understanding who He is, and giving Him all the glory and the honor and the praise. The nation of Israel was behaving as bad as Edom was. And He used that as an example. They were despising the things that God had given them. They were despising His name. They were despising His name. And they were despising the way that God wanted them to be worshipped. Wanted Him to be worshipped. Christian, we can't be that. And while this may be a little bit of a hard message this morning, I want to give some comfort with this. God says we can do those things through Christ, which strengthens us. If we are wanting to please the Lord, and we are approaching Him with a pure heart and holiness, we have got to do it His way. And doing the will of God is to do it His way, not ours. I like to say I'm a Christian. Not to boast, but to say how great my God is, how great my Savior is, how great Jesus Christ, that precious name of Jesus, is. We shouldn't shirk away with that and say, somebody say, oh, are you one of those Christians? We shouldn't be like, yeah. No, we should boldly say, yes, I am a Christian because He is my Lord and Savior. We should boldly declare the name of Christ. Because as it says in the book of Acts, there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved, save Jesus Christ. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this time, and I thank You again, Lord, for the example that You preserved for us in Your Word, that we would be able to see exactly what we need to do. The Lord, we need to be the Christian that clearly does not profane Your name, but declares that You are our Savior, that declares You are the one that we serve, that declares with a pure heart You are the one that we love, and that, Lord, we would obey Your commandments out of charity towards You. I thank You again, Lord, for those that are here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that we would take all of these things, we'd hide them in our heart, Lord, we'd retain them, and constantly ask, am I profaning Your name? Am I taking it in vain? Am I living in a way that I'm giving everything out of that pure heart towards You? And I ask and pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.